Moving on. IS 23, agenda paper 7. And Cam, back at the table.
Thank you. We will move on to agenda paper 7, which analyzes feedback on the proposed amendment to IS 23. 51 respondents commented, and we received general support for the proposed amendments. We have split the feedback into that which view as the main matters for discussion and other matters which are in Appendix A. Issue 1 related to consistency with and clarification of existing principles in IS 23. Paragraphs 15 to 19 explain the concerns, and our analysis is outlined in paragraphs 20 to 24. In our view, the proposed amendments are consistent with the requirement in IS 23. We think that no substantive change is needed in this respect. Nonetheless, we will clarify the rationale when drafting the basis for conclusion to the amendment. Issue 2 deals with borrowings made specifically to obtain an asset other than qualifying asset. Some respondents say that proposed amendments do not address the treatment of borrowing costs on such borrowings. Paragraph 26 explains the concern, and our analysis is in paragraph 27 to 31. The amendment reinforced the previous conclusions of the board that general borrowings include funds borrowed specifically to obtain an asset other than qualifying asset. We think it would be helpful to explicitly include those previous conclusions in IS 23. Consequently, we recommend that the board clarify these conclusions in the final amendment. I would like to direct your attention to question 1 on page 9 and ask if you agree with our recommendation on issues 1 and 2.
He's got some energy left.
Yes, I just want to say that I share this concern that is describing paragraph 19, where we talk about if this should be included in general borrowers or not, when it comes to that we actually have the assets still on board, so to speak, that the loan is tied to the assets rather than into the general borrowings. But I know that we discussed that before. So, but I happen to see the comments.
Did you send Andy under a
I continue to agree with where we got to previously, and I have no objection to, or I think it will be a good idea to provide clarity and basis for conclusions. My only observation is not quite sure what we're going to recommend the board does with the basis for conclusions. There's no draft words, just the recommendation that the board clarified it. And I probably have felt more comfortable saying yes if I'd seen the words.
Reinhardt.
I'm comfortable with the proposed amendments. And my only comment was that I thought that some of the matters that were discussed in the appendix might be indicative of the general principle that I think this clarification is intended to provide, which is that any interest costs that are not specific to qualifying assets go into the general borrowing pool. So some of the questions that were raised, for example, in Appendix A2, where someone suggested that it might be good to clarify whether you have specific borrowings for which you've suspended interest capitalization on a qualifying asset, whether that should go into the borrowing pool. So I think if the general principle is as I enunciated it, it might be helpful to just provide some expand to make sure that that's clear in the amendments.
Because the thing, if I understand, Reinhard, it's almost like it's not. I don't think you're suggesting that we go through and we start to list out in the clarification. It's all the specifics. Almost your point is, if the more the principle seems to be coming through is clarified, then
exactly,
make sure that will provide the answer.
So that when people look at those types of situations, they say, okay, it's clear as to is it in or not.
Oh.
So what was proposed was, as I had mentioned in previous meetings, was not my first choice, but that all those issues have been debated. We came out with, which was a principle I did support. Looking at what was been raised, I don't think anything new has been raised other than the borrowings on other types of, specifically on other types of assets, which I think I can fit underneath the principle and agree with the staff's analysis. So I'm in agreement with staff bringing this forth for finalization.
Anybody else? Jim.
And I do have a concern on this. Since the approach is not to allow the entity to specifically decide which one is in or not, basically saying that the board rejected the notion that the entity used judgment. But what if, in some jurisdictions, the borrowings, particularly bank borrowings, are strictly regulated or categorized as for something or not for something? And for example, in China, some borrowings could be only used for operation purpose, not for the asset building or acquiring purpose. If we throw these kind of remaining balance into the pool, that's kind of saying that a piece of this benefit is for the assets. So that's not in line with the contract the company is signing with the banks, or it's not in line with the regulation. That could result in severe punishment on this kind of behavior. So should we say we exclude this kind of a clear contracts or regulations?
I think the whole principle in IS 23 is that because cash is fungible, and this is what we discussed previously when we made the amendments, is because cash is fungible, it's hard to set aside borrowings made for a particular purpose to only that purpose. And IS 23, paragraph 14, currently sets a clear principle, or at least has clear requirements in that sense, to say you must include all borrowing other than those made specifically to obtain a qualifying asset. So it doesn't give room for judgment when you have borrowings that have certain restrictions placed on them. For example, I think paragraph 14 has already made that decision for us. Okay. And I think if we start to tinker around with that, I think that goes back to more fundamentally changing the requirements in paragraph 14. Mm-hmm. And that would be much broader than the scope of the annual improvement that we are looking at. So
yeah, as long as you think it's already considered, we're fine. Under these kind of regulations, they do have ways to control the physical flow of the cash, even though they're not physical bills, they're signals, but they have dedicated accounts to track each and every move of these money, where it goes. So in that case, it could be separated out, not put in, right? Okay, that's good, thank you.
I had a similar comment as Reinhard on the appendix, and I realize we're not on that question, but just in response to a comment he made, particularly in Roman numeral two, I thought there were some relevant questions that were being asked that I think need to be addressed, either through examples or something, as we're thinking about how to, I realize it's a narrow scope amendment, but these, I think, are relevant practical questions that people are going to deal with the narrow scope amendment. So I'd like to see some assessment of whether or not these need to be addressed as part of the overall process.
So I suppose our view, Bonnie, is, and I think that Ryan is right, I think that not all of these, but some of these, which is already the intention, that we think that the principle or whatever that underlies IS 23 that maybe wasn't as clear as it could have been, but we'll make clear, which is you kind of pretty much include all borrowings when you're looking in general, other than those made specifically, that if we can make that clear, which is will be our recommendation to the board, if you agree, then that will at a better level answer some of these. Some other of these we think are already answered and won't necessarily answer all of these. But I suppose our viewpoint was is that all of these, so the narrow scope amendment was trying to clarify this. These are all, I'm not saying invalid questions, but they're just naturally when we ask it, you know, we propose something narrowly to IS23, many people provide us with all of the questions they have every time they apply IS23, which is natural and I understand it, but it's just that we felt that this was then going beyond, at least some of these were going beyond the scope of the narrow scope amendment. If we start to answer those, say, in finalising it, does that lead to thinking about those?
Then are there other questions that need to be addressed by the committee?
Was there anything in particular that you spotted that you were focused on?
No, because it's unclear to me if these are just one-off type questions or if they're widespread or material. You know, if I think about kind of the criteria that we apply everything against.
Is if I'm looking at Ken and Javid who are closer to this, I mean, just at least in terms of, if you look at most of them, I think, well, a lot of them are one, at least I noticed
most three or of them were just one respondent raising the comments rather
so
than
one
being
respondent
more indicative.
For completeness, we've listed them all.
I understand.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is what we categorize as issue two, that came up by quite a few respondents, and that's why we made that into a bigger issue, and we said, let's just clarify that particular one. But all of these ones were pretty much one-off comments. So we don't have any evidence that these are widespread or that there's a particular need to address them at this stage.
Okay. So those are the two questions. Mm-hmm. So firstly, the first question on page 9, whether or not the staff recommendation to finalise proposed amendments, including the rationale for the amendments and what's in B, that an entity includes funds borrowed specifically to obtain an asset other than a qualifying asset as part of general borrowing. Does the committee include strategies?
Everyone here?
And on the phone, Sandy?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Sorry, do you agree with question one in the paper? Gender
yes.
Yes, okay, so that's everybody. And then on question two, does the committee agree with the staff's recommendation on the other matters that are set out in appendix? Sure. Again. Yes. And Sandy?
Yes.
So that's everybody again.